This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, guiding you through the journey that is parenting, I guess. Always talking to experts to help on this. And I'm honestly want to start today just by saying thank you. Thank you for giving me the privilege of your time. Thank you for joining each week. Thank you for your interaction. It's just I'm filled with gratitude that I have this opportunity to spend with you once a week, a morning, chatting about the difficulties and the fun and the wonder and the amazingness and everything that is parenting, because it is really, it makes me happy. And joining you each Wednesday morning makes me very happy. Today's question, I feel, that Howard started this morning, I feel fits in nicely with the show today. The question for today is, what is the most ridiculous or unnecessary thing you've ever worried about? So if you have any answers to share, I would love to hear. You can send a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. I've been a mom so long that it's become part of my existence, the worry. If someone says, if you're worried, I don't even think I would say yes, because it's just part of my DNA by this time. And I'm wondering if you have the same. I do remember, though, and I think I have shared this insight before about my ridiculousness. I remember for a long time when Oscar was born, there was a period of time. I mean, obviously, I breastfed. But there was a period of time when he was a baby and then a toddler that for a very long time, I didn't drink any alcohol. Not that I drink a lot now, so it's not really such a weird thing, but I very consciously chose not to drink any alcohol just for the reason I was afraid that something would happen to him and I would need to go donate blood. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's, if you think about it, I mean, it sounds now, I don't know if it sounds silly or what, but I mean, it was a silly reason not to drink in the end of the day. It was also not like I was passing out on couches or anything like that, but it was, yeah, that was one of my worries. So it's a silly and ridiculous worry in some ways, but also a legit one. You should worry about your child and their well-being. So I don't feel it was completely unnecessary or ridiculous, but it is funny when you look back to now. But specifically to Dime, and this conversation also started in my head a little bit this week. Me and my family, we choose shows, especially from the olden days, when me and my husband were growing up or when we were a little bit older, then there was shows that we always used to watch, things like Friends and stuff like that. And at the moment, we're watching The Middle, which is about an American family with parents with three children. And this mom one episode was talking about, or she was trying to find a solution because she literally couldn't remember things anymore. And she was saying that she can't remember things because her head is filled with everyone else's stuff that she had to remember. And I could relate so much because I do forget stuff, but I also have many lists. I have reminders on my phone. Literally, if someone tells me something, I often put a reminder on my phone almost immediately or send myself a WhatsApp to remember certain things. Also, my calendar is full of my own stuff, my children's stuff, so that I also remember when to. And on Monday, I have to relate that. My husband came back from dropping the children off, and then he said, no, we haven't organized things very well. He was a little bit upset with Oscar that he didn't organize with us properly because he now has to be picked up at 2:30 today. He doesn't have anything. What now? And then I'm like, because I had to take it off, because two, I had to take Emmy to swimming, so I couldn't pick him up. So it was a little bit of a logistical situation happening. And Stefan had a meeting at that time, so he couldn't pick him up. And then I'm like, okay, I'll go drop Emmy off at swimming, and then I'll go pick him up later. And Stefan's like, no, he should learn his lesson, and he should, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so I did do that, and in the end, Oscar did sort out the situation. He organized with a friend of his, the dad, who we often have like carpool with, and Oscar made it home. Me, like an idiot, on the other hand, went to the school, looked for him for a good 10, 15 minutes, and it was no one's fault. But this is what I want to talk about today, is the mental load we carry. I say these logistical things in our household most definitely is more often than not my mental load. My husband doesn't worry about it. But in the same breath, the financial load or responsibility of our household, of course, I have an active part in it and I contribute to it and. But the actual responsibility and the mental load of it, I honestly can say that it's my husband that takes on most of that load. Like I said, I don't take all of the load. And the same thing with the organizing things. I don't take all of the load, but definitely he takes a smaller role in that. And this is what the conversation today for me is about that a mental load of parenting. And I'm not necessarily talking, I mean, I guess we can talk a little bit about the chores and stuff like that, but it's not really also about that necessarily, what each person has to do and the responsibility of getting things done, I guess. But this is the conversation, and I'm joined today by, I guess, a psychologist who's been on the show before, Fiona Doman. Thank you, Fiona, for joining me today.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is an interesting topic because I also don't think this is things that parents often talk about, to be honest. And I think it can cause a lot of, and it's, I'm gonna, again, I'm very much relating now to my own marriage and what's happening here. Not in a way to say that I'm doing it the best, that I honestly have to be open and honest. It took a long time for us to also get to this point. For instance, I just want to share this is that I remember the fights we had when we just got married and just had children. I don't know. It was silly things. I mean, in all honesty, I can't even remember it. It was so trivial, to be honest. Me and Stefan very seldom now fight. I honestly don't think, because there was a certain point, and I think it was soon after we had children, where I think both of us realize the long game that we're in. And in the sense of, even if we got divorced, we realize our lives will be intertwined forever because we had now children together. And this made a huge, big mind shift for both of us in the sense of, like, when we now had arguments, it was very much not about who's winning this argument, which I felt in the beginning, and it was a lot about. It was who's right and who's wrong. And at the moment, and I realized that it's not about that anymore. Like I said, it was this huge, big mind shift for me where it was more about, like, whether or not I'm right or wrong is not even remotely, is we have to find a way to go forward and find a together a solution for whether or whatever the issue was in the end of the day. And for me, that was a big game changer with regards to everything that happened. So each argument, it was very much not, I mean, like I said, I can't even think of a recent argument that we've had, to be honest. And it's also, arguments really not the right word anymore. It's a discussion of, listen here, this is happening, you need to bring this to the table, or something like that. But really thinking about the end goal of it.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about the mental load of parenting. Whether or not certain things are equal or not, I think it's difficult. But joining me to talk about this discussion is counseling psychologist and founder of The Parenting Partner, Fiona Doman. Fiona, thank you so much again for joining me. I think, for me, I feel parents, when we talk about the mental load, I mean, when people hear mental load, they often think, yes, you're busy. But what does it actually mean when we're saying from a psychological perspective?
So I think it can go with just being physically busy because it definitely includes like planning, and all of that and enforcing certain things. So it can be visible also a part of it. But a lot of it is actually just what's going on the inside. So mentally, cognitively, emotionally. And then specifically, of course, like what's taking the emotional or cognitive labor, or where are you putting your energy in mostly to get things done? So nowadays, when we talk about the mental load, we talk about four specific things, and that's like when people, and specifically usually mothers, especially in the early months or years of children growing up, then it's usually those four things are anticipating what's going to happen, what everybody's needs are. So not just the children, but also your own needs, your family needs, the household needs. So anticipating, identifying or prioritizing what's the most important thing to focus on. And sometimes it's not just one thing, it's 10 things in at one time, but you have to almost prioritize that still. And then also deciding what you are going to do for each of those things at what time. And then monitoring your progress. So those are the four things. It's anticipating, identifying, deciding, and monitoring. And all of that takes really a lot of attention. It's really that almost physical also, but mental and emotional energy you put into just paying attention to all of those things. And of course, you can just imagine if you are totally focused and you pay attention to just a conversation in general, and it's just one topic, but you are really spending a lot of effort in that. It's taxing. So now you are doing that, you are paying attention to 10 things, and you are really project managing those 10 things simultaneously. And a lot to do with emotional needs and care needs. So it doesn't stop. It's not just like there's a beginning and an end, it's ongoing.
And it changes, it evolves, becomes all sorts of things. And I mean, just when you're saying all these things, and I mean, decisions. And I often also, for parents, for me, parenting is, like you said, it's anticipating, identifying, then also deciding. And I mean, decisions in the end of the day, I think it's difficult sometimes. And that's why I feel routines and schedules and stuff like that make such a huge difference. And lots of parents, coming from this free, you can do with your time whatever you want period of your life, and it's wonderful, and all you have to worry about is yourself, and it's really great. And then you're entering parenting, and lots of parents initially push against wanting routines and schedules. Also, like thinking, like, I want my child to fit into my life and all these things, which is great. I mean, in practice, you can do certain things like that, but routines and schedules are not there to make you rigid. I feel it frees up your time when you have routines and schedules and things like that, because it takes the thinking about out of the mundane tasks. If you have to think about all these small things, like when this has to happen, when bath time has to happen, how bedtime has to happen, how old, every single day, you're wasting your anticipation, identification, decisions, and monitoring on silly things, which can be taken out of your thinking. And that's why routines and schedules make a difference. It's not just for children, it's mostly for you as a parent. Okay. But specifically, As always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So again, the question for today was, what is one of the most ridiculous things and unnecessary silly things that you've worried about? Please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear about that. But specifically today, I want to talk about this, like I said, this the mental load of each parent. That's specifically one of what I want to talk about. And often the mental load is uneven in a relationship, even when you're equals. I mean, I think I have a couple of friends where you very much realize who's wearing the pants in the family. For lack of a better word, I'm saying it in a very tongue-in-cheek way. But you do realize that. I know friends of mine where I can very clearly know and I can think of them. But I like for me as well. I mean, me and Stefan have our designated roles, and it's actually quite traditional if you look at it. And we're very much not a traditional couple, but our roles are very. I'm the one who's cooking. He's the one who repairs things. He does gardening and things like that. So it's and again, financial responsibility. I think it does have a lot to do with the fact that he earns more money than me. But in the end of the day, I do, there is still very much equality within our relationship. So, why is mental load often so unequal? Especially, I feel in the beginning when babies are small.
Of course, if you think about it, Ne, the mother usually takes the primary role between birth and 6 years. So those are also, and that's very normal because that's the years where the child mostly needs care and they have to survive and they have to start to form connections. And that's the blueprint years for their relationships. So can I trust the world? Can I trust people? And because just in our country also, maternity leave is still like primarily and longer for the mother. So she is going to start to take that role. And of course, it is a more psychological thing. It is more an inward thing. Do I feel connected? Do I feel, can I make someone feel safe? You can't really explain it or just put it into physical terms. So 6 years, of course, the mother, and that's how it's supposed to be. You can't teach a child about identity and about self-esteem and giving challenges or whatever, like a father would do after 6 years mostly, in those first years. So it's almost just natural that because there's so many psychological things happening and connection things and care things, that a mother will feel that in the first 6 years. Of course, I think in the background, I think fathers carry a lot, like you said, financially, but with that, it also they also give support to the mother because they are the primary supporter now of the mother. Where you said also, usually we were fine just to look after ourselves, and now all of a sudden you have to, if you are not going to look after the mother as the husband, then probably you're the partner, you are not going to that's one of your roles. So that's something new that's also coming to the table. But also, I think a lot of the time, fathers also think about things like legacy, giving their family opportunities to broaden their worldview, for instance, exposure to different things, but also then care and also forming this new identity. So I think a lot of the time, fathers do have those additional things. They don't talk about it always as much as mothers would, or as much as they are allowed, as mothers are allowed to talk about the psychological things also. And then we don't see that load that they are carrying. But also, I think a lot of the time, because they are so busy with provision, it's easier to put those things at the back burner or on the back burner and focus on the main thing that's just in front of you. I have to be financially secure and provide for my family. Where a mother does not have one specific thing. So sometimes it's really just a lot, a big pile of a lot of things. So I think it can be equal or it can sometimes change with time. But yeah, I think it's just because the mother is more involved in those first 6 years with the emotional, psychological things more than the father.
And also the practical things, obviously, initially, especially if you're breastfeeding and things like that. I mean, you're this food source. So I do think, and I mean, I've thought about this quite a lot because it's quite interesting, I feel, these days that because lots of moms work now. It's not like 50 years ago or when we grew up where lots of moms were stay-at-home moms. I do think there's a little bit of a shift, but I think there's a lot of a big shift now also of dads staying at home. It's not a lot that you get it, but it is. It happens now a lot more. And it's, I think, sometimes tricky for us as women also to navigate that role because in some ways you want. And you think you don't want it initially when you're pregnant. You're like, I want to go back to work. And once that baby is there, many moms have told me, it's like, I really don't want to go back. I'm only going back. Some moms have it where they're like, I can't wait to go back. And it's also fine. But it is sometimes navigate to also just within yourself navigate that role and that load in essence that it is. But really like the financial, I've always thought of me and Stefan as well as very equal like partners when it comes to financially. Yes, of course he's made, but we've always made decisions together and we still do. But for me, the actual, like I said, the responsibility and the load of it, I only realized it. Not it's like in I'm embarrassed to say it, like in recent times where he was thinking about like a career shift and things like that. And then he's like, you're gonna have to maybe carry the load. And I'm like, I can't do that. I'm not mentally
Yeah, please
able
don't.
to do that. Please. And I luckily I had the maturity to know that about myself. I guess, but in all honesty, it really kind of hit me, and I'm like, I don't want to take on that. And I realized, you know what? I'm fine with carrying certain other things. But I mean, you know, I said that it sometimes becomes equal certain things and sometimes not. But do you think that a 50-50 split is actually realistic in a parenting and a relationship?
Yeah, Yolandi, I think, it's not about like really dividing it even 70-30 or coming to a place where, okay, you are taking 30 and I'm taking 70. I think it's more about just knowing whether we have support or not. So when I really need it, will you be there to support me? Yeah, so sometimes we want to really, I think it's because we are so used to just coming from a world of work before we are also pregnant or whatever. You are really, really career driven mostly. And then you have this view of everything, everybody has a role and responsibility. There's a beginning and an end, and we can tick off the tasks. So that's our mind speaking. But I think in relationships and especially in parenting, I think sometimes it's more about the security factor to just know that if I really feel I'm not up for this, or I really, I hit a slack, do I know that I can rely on you? And if I ask for help, you will be there. So I think that's more conversation that parents maybe should have than just saying like, here's the list, let's divide it.
I think that's sometimes I think where the trickiness comes in because, and again, I had exactly the same thing when we started out our pre and I'm definitely I don't feel I'm like an advanced level anything yet. I'm still growing and learning all the time, and that's also why I love these conversations and these shows. Thank you again for signing in and listening to me rant about it. But it really helps me also to think about it a little bit on my own as well. So it's wonderful. I get free psychological assistance from Fiona while we're sitting here. But I actually think that for, again, like I said earlier, that there was a little bit of a mind shift that happened between us, and just realizing that you're in this together. And I don't think that ever. There is really like, and I don't think it's necessary to have an equal load with certain things. I know in our household, when it comes to emotional things, I'm also much better at it than what Stefan is. Not that he's not there or not emotional or anything, but I do have a certain role when it comes to certain. My kids will also, if they're upset or something, they would often come to me. But there's other things that Chiffin definitely does a lot. I don't know, better, or he's more there for it. But I think sometimes where the issue comes in, especially in the beginning when you become parents, you feel it's unfair. And I'm again telling my own story here. I remember when so me and my husband have always played golf together, or for a very long time. Even before children, we played golf together. Then, yes, we had children. And with a small baby, it's a long time that you play golf, so it takes a long time. And it just, so I started almost, I stopped almost immediately once Oscar was born. And then Stefan still kept on playing golf. And when he went out for 5 hours, I was like, you must be killing me. So he's away. In my head, I was thinking, you know what? I am with Oscar all the time, 24/7 at home, and you get to go to work. And I have to do this crap. And now it's weekend, and you decide, hey, for another 5 hours, not realizing in the end of the day. Now, reflecting back at it, I have insight into that. I also need to, it's like I have to stop working physically to also get away from certain things. And I never saw it in that way. I made him stop because I felt it was unfair. So, how should couples define this fairness? Because I don't feel it's also even possible, even in some ways, but maybe it's just knowing that, I don't know. What do you think it is, this fairness? Is it equal? Is it possible?
So I think that comes down to, again, there, people having conversations, because sometimes I think we feel that unfairness almost, but we keep quiet. And sometimes it's because we don't have the energy to pick a fight almost, or sometimes it's just because you feel like, okay, I'm keeping this in my back pocket, so I will, cash it in when I need it more. Or you feel like uncertain sometimes if you can complain about something like that, because it's a new experience. Not mom or dad really knows what the rules are, if there are any rules. So sometimes you also second guess yourself to think like, is this even something I can get upset about? But I think the thing is, you have to take responsibility for your own feelings and say, okay, I can't make assumptions. I think that's the thing we can't really make assumptions to think like, with everything going on, my husband will just know, or my wife will just know that I need it, or it's, I can't cope without him here, or I need him more, or I need her more now. So sometimes it comes back to something as silly as communication. And then usually your partner will say, yo, I didn't know you felt that way. Or they can say, yo, yes, but let's make a plan. I didn't even think about it, so let's make a plan that you can take a break, or you can plan together. Or sometimes it's necessary to say, like, okay, for the next 3 months, because it's a big period of adjustment, there won't be any golf or breaks longer than 2 hours at a time. Yes, so
Yes, but
sometimes
more
there's
on this just now, Fiona.
a
Thanks.
okay.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about the fun mental load that is parenting. And it's also mental load, sometimes it also sounds like it's only horrible things. Literally, I think it was one of the questions of today that was asked, that Howard asked on his show, was about whether or not, if there was something you could outsource tasks, if you would outsource it. And I could not. I was thinking of things like, taking kids to school. And honestly, I don't want someone else to do it. There's parts of it I hate, but there's lots of parts that I love about it. And there was lots of these small things where I'm thinking, my cooking, but I also really love enjoy cooking. So it was actually quite funny. In the end, I really couldn't think of something that I really wanted to permanently outsource, except maybe
Yes.
going to go pick up my driver's license. I wish someone would go do that for. I've gone twice already. I'm not happy about it. My guest today, Fiona, just before we got interrupted, we were talking about the fairness of it, and just also communicating as a couple. And I think that is, in essence, really one of the things, because resentment, it creeps in very slowly and builds up. And men are really, I mean, in general, I'm very much generalizing here. I'm not saying it's all men, but they are not always great at communicating. And they're not like us, where they sometimes, I feel like women really often have a superpower of picking up on differences in emotion and things like that. And we think men have the same ability. I have not met a man that has, or very few, that has this innate ability to pick up on small emotional changes in the ripple of things. And we think they can just pick up the, hey, I'm angry, or hey, upset, say it, speak your truth and say it to them. And don't be afraid to do it, because remember, if you're in a relationship and you have a child together, you've got long game together. So they might not be happy always what you have to say, but in the end, it's better than just brewing in it, I guess. But before you go, Fiona, how can couples have this conversation? Let's say that, like, before, for one last thought, maybe, what are some of the practical tools and that couples can implement in these conversations?
So I think also, Yolani, sometimes it's better to really go and sit by yourself first to reflect before you reflect with someone else. You know,
Yes.
just
Oh, that's a
to
good
almost,
idea.
just to sometimes just to structure your thoughts a little bit and to really think about like what's the three most important things that really, you know, that pet peeves that we can't really cope with. You know, that's the deal
Yeah.
breakers almost. To just to yeah, to make to simplify it a little bit more, ne?
Yeah.
Especially I go on what my husband always also says, and also a lot of my clients, if it's males coming in, they always say, but I didn't know, and you didn't communicate that. You did it in a roundabout way, but you just didn't get to the point.
Yeah.
My husband almost always says, communicate with me in bullet points.
I like that.
So,
My husband would probably also love that, but unfortunately, he married me.
unfortunate for them, but I'm trying. But I think sometimes it also helps you. Just to almost, you know, structure your own thoughts and really come to these are the three main things. Because otherwise, if you go into a conversation and you just name like 20 different things, people will feel overwhelmed and they don't know where to start in any case. So
Yeah.
I would say be more specific. And of course, there are lists, there are things that you can take from the internet, even like tasks, you know, planning, really mental load. Task lists. You can
Yeah.
Google that and you can get that. And that's a good conversation starter, especially even if you feel like, okay, there's been like emotions brewing. So let's just give it like a structured way that we can start to talk without really, you know, nitpicking
Yeah.
or anything. But I also think sometimes people also, sometimes they jump to just going into a plan without really also reflecting on their emotions. So I would say do it by yourself first and then talk to your partner about it and get a list. Like you said, a calendar planner, you know, set reminders on your phone, be practical about it. And really also I want to say almost try to make things better and not perfect.
No.
Because things, as we said also during the break, Yolandi, things are changing in a relationship and in a household and with parenting the whole time. So if you are going to try to hit that perfection mark, it's going to be very difficult because the goalpost will shift from time to time. But if we can do one, two, or three things just to make it better and to feel more supported, that's already a win, according to
Yes.
me.
Yeah, no, definitely. The last thing, and I think we have a moment to maybe just talk about that, is like, again, like I said, I felt we had a little bit of a mind shift as a couple, many years ago now, where it was not anymore this me versus you kind of mentality. It became a us versus the problem or the issue kind of a mentality. And how can it's not, is it just a mental shift you have to make, or how can we help couples to get to that point?
You know, just two thoughts on that, Yolandi. I always think about if you are on the same team, you have to, if everybody is doing 100% what they are doing, and they never really almost take a break, give the ball to the other person just to almost reset a bit, take a breath, and then go into the game again. Then everybody will get tired at the same time because everybody is just overspending themselves. So there's no, you know, there's no shame in saying, I need a break. Can you take the lead? And then take it over again, you know. But again, I think that's the view we have to have. And then on the other side, I always tell clients, if you struggle and it feels too personal, really put like a name to the problem and visualize that problem. Usually it helps if you visualize it as something that wants to come into your household and you won't allow it. It's almost like an intruder you fight. If you see him coming, and he wants to steal the joy or the team, you know, the team spirit or the peace or whatever, you have to make a stand against that intruder. Not your husband, not your wife, not the mental load, that intruder that wants to take away your peace and your family, the love, you know.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. Thank you so much, Fiona. More on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, and just like that, another show is coming to a very strong end. And it's been a wonderful conversation about talking about the relationship that is the parents and the loads we carry individually. But in the end, like we mentioned, technically together we're carrying this load. Sometimes we take some things more, sometimes we take some things less, and our partner takes more. But it is really taking on, like Fiona said before the ad break, taking on those intruders head on together and not separately. We're not fighting with each other, we're not fighting with the problem or with individually, we're fighting together these issues that come up. Fiona, it was wonderful talking to you. But before you go, please, can you just let people know where they can find you? Because you do also have an Instagram page, a wonderful website as well, various talks you have to help parents specifically with these issues of communicating with each other. Where can people find you?
So they can go, just Google Fiona Doman Psychology. So you can go to my website or the parenting partner on Facebook or Instagram where I post, and then all my contact details are there in any case.
Yeah,
So
yes.
yeah, then they
It
can
is
reach
really
out.
wonderful. And like I said, she really has lots of tools and also resources, blogs and things that you can go look at on her website to help with these communication. Like I said, sometimes it doesn't always come naturally. I don't feel communication with, and sometimes issues like these are difficult to talk about, but these resources are available. Thank you so much, Fiona. It was so wonderful having you. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too, everybody. Okay.
What a powerful and important conversation. I think always I say that sleep is the foundation for health and for mental well-being and things like that. But that's the same with you as a couple. You have to remember that your parenting relationship is the foundation. Your relationship with your husband is the foundation. There wouldn't have been a baby without the two of you. There wouldn't have been that. And it is a very important thing. And often when babies come into the equation, I think we lose sight of certain things, that because now we're a mom, now we're a dad, and we forget that, hey, you're also still Yolandi. You're also still someone's partner. And they consume everything initially. But sometimes it's also necessary to create the spaces for small, silly things to happen. And I mean things like if your child is sleeping with you in the bed, and that's a personal choice, you can do whatever you want to, that's not the end of the world. But if those type of things happen, the reality is that you are not saying goodnight to your husband and you're not saying good morning to your husband. And small little conversations that happen together with that. Yes, for 3, 4, 5 months, even 6 months, it's not the end of the world. But that's cumulative time that you're missing out on silly connections that can make a huge difference in your relationship. Create the space where it's easy to have these silly conversations, even if it's over coffee in the morning, but have those moments where you say good morning to each other, you say goodbye to each other, you kiss each other. Because even 30 seconds over a year and over a lifetime accumulates into an incredible amount of time you are creating with the most important foundation of any relationship, which is the one with your partner. Please, as always, take what resonates with you, leave what doesn't, and hey, let's go out there and start the conversation at home. Until next time, let's go out there and be kind to ourselves and to each other.